You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Hello, once again. It's good to be together, though, to come and worship God. And to I know one of the things that Michael loved very much was the Word of God. And so I pray that we can, just take some time today to really perhaps think about how God might be speaking to us individually. Wanted to start off by introducing our theme for this year, which is called Led by the Spirit. And so we're going to be beginning our first series of the year is going to be studying through the Sermon on the Mount. And so today I'm going to be teaching from, about the Beatitudes, which is how Jesus starts off the Sermon on the Mount. You know, the Sermon on the Mount is obviously one of Jesus's well-known teachings, and so there's so much in there. So I'd like to encourage you, if you could please be reading that in your own quiet times as well, because we won't be able to just cover absolutely everything in the sermons on a Sunday. But let us once again just go and pray, just to prepare us, and we've also had some other news just this morning as well, so just pray for someone else as well. But let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your amazing word, just the way that it enriches our lives every single day. Thank you, God, for the new teachings we get to learn from you. Thank you, God, that you constantly are drawing us closer to you through your scriptures. We pray for this year as we strive to be led by the Spirit, that God, that there will be less of us, and more of you in every single area of our lives. Father, we pray right now, though, for our brother Everett, who has just been taken off to ER. We pray that you will please be with him as well. Please be with the medical staff and pray that you will bring healing to him. Comfort Nikhil as well, Father. God, wow, we are in need of you so much. We're reminded, God, of our weakness, of our frailty. We're reminded, Father, of just the fragility of life. And so we pray that today that your word will nourish us and just help us to really be mindful of what is most important, which is our relationship with you. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Beatitudes, I know that you know them all very well, but this has been one of those sermons similar to when Jesus spoke about the sheep and the goats. Remember the teaching on that? That perhaps it was that we are to look after one another, not strangers in that way. And even the hot, cold, and lukewarm, that there was maybe we got it wrong. I think the Beatitudes is one of those as well. So I've probably never spent as much time on one passage of scripture in all my years of preaching. This sent me down huge rabbit holes, fantastic rabbit holes. I loved it, but that was pretty much my holidays, was this sermon. So I'm excited to be able to teach it today. So let me just remind you of what the Beatitudes teach. So when Jesus saw the crowds, you may not be able to see it, but it's in Matthew 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you." So I've preached this many times, and as I chose this passage to be able to start the year off, I thought, oh, this is going to be an easy sermon. I'll just pull out one of my old ones that I did on this, nice and easy. Unfortunately, as I said, I think I've got it wrong, and many preachers that I've heard, even online, perhaps have this wrong. You see, it's very easy to preach this as a list, as a to-do list. You read this and you think, right, in order for me to enter the kingdom of heaven, I need to be pure in heart. I need to make sure that I am poor in spirit, whatever that might mean. I've got to be, you know, mourning about my own sinful state. That's how I've always taught this in the past. And you kind of have to do some linguistic, you know, gymnastics to come to that conclusion. Because it seems actually that Jesus is not trying to lay this out as a list of virtues that we have to do in order to be right with him, even though it looks that way on the surface. Does that make sense? You see, otherwise, it reduces Jesus' teachings just to a code of ethics. You see, in Buddhism, there's this thing called the Eightfold Path, which are these eight different principles of how you should live your life in order to be happy, the right way of living. And it's almost, we could use this scripture in the same way. Because do we really need God to fulfill many of these? They're just ways of just being a good person. So Jesus is actually meaning something way deeper. Now, I don't have enough time today to really go into the depth of teaching. So I'm going to send out some resources if you would like to follow up with this in your own time. But in order to understand the passage correctly, there are two perspectives that we need to be able to make sure that we understand first of all. So the first perspective is that these Beatitudes are a fulfillment of prophecy, okay? That's the first way to be able to see these. So we have to see all of these through the lens of a fulfillment of prophecy. So my encouragement today will be to make some notes, okay? It will help you to be able to engage with the word a little bit more. So in Matthew chapter 1, what we see in the Gospel of Matthew, about 13 times, Matthew was written for a Jewish audience. And so Matthew over and over says to them, hey, Jesus did this in order to fulfill prophecy. This happened in order to fulfill prophecy. In other words, he's saying to the Jewish audience, Jesus absolutely is the promised Messiah. And so the reason why this is important, because even here in the Beatitudes, every single one of them almost is fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy. So let me explain. Even if you take the book of Isaiah alone, or chapter 61 of Isaiah, this is what it says. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, Jesus, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Isn't that one of the Beatitudes? Yeah. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's actually the meaning of one of the Beatitudes. To proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom of prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance. To comfort all who mourn. Who's going to do the comforting? Jesus. See, this was prophesied 700 years before. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is saying, hey, listen, all of those comforts, all of those things that you've been waiting for, that's me. I'm here. I've come to fulfill those. And here's a little Bible study you could do if you want to. I don't have the time to go through it today. But these slides will be available on the church website, or you can take a picture right now. But this is a really great Bible study that shows you how the Beatitudes are fulfilled by Old Testament scripture or Old Testament fulfillment. And you notice they're either all in Psalms or in the book of Isaiah. So it's quite amazing. It's very encouraging just to see what Jesus did. So when Jesus says this, when Isaiah says this, this is what Jesus is doing in the Beatitudes. Many people will come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. That's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, I am here. Get ready. I'm the fulfillment of all of those incredible prophecies. They can be found and fulfilled in me. And so the Beatitudes are like the introduction to him teaching us his ways. They're not so much a way for us to be taught from each one of the virtues. The teaching, more of the teaching, comes from the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. He's just saying, get ready. This is the introduction. Does that make sense? All right, wonderful. Now, the second perspective that we need is this, is that Jesus is actually reframing what it truly means to be blessed. Now, this is where we'll spend most of the time today. So this word, blessed, we see it at the beginning of each of the Beatitudes. The word here actually is a different word that we would typically think of when we think of the word blessed. So when we think of blessed in English, we think of being given something, a blessing, right? Given something wonderful, receiving something good within our lives, particularly from God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 42, when the angel appears to Mary, he says to her, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear." He says, "Mary, you've been given an amazing blessing. You're going to give birth to the Son of God." In Ephesians chapter 1, we are told that we receive every spiritual blessing from God. So this is this typical word that we would use for being blessed. However, the word that we see in that is used, that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 5, is not the typical word that we use for blessed. So this is what it is. So it's this Greek word, which is makarios, or which is ashrei in Hebrew. And this word does not appear in English. We don't have a direct English translation to this word. And so the closest one that translators often will use is kind of blessed, but it's the wrong translation. So the best way for us to look at this is one of these ways. So it's like saying to someone, "Wow, how fortunate you are." So there's someone is recognizing someone else's state or happy state or good state that they are in. So when the Queen of Sheba went to visit King Solomon in Chronicles, she says to him, "Ashrei are your people. How blessed are your people. How happy your people must be because of your wisdom, because of your counsel, because of your leadership." Basically, she's saying, listen, they must be living the good life to be part of your kingdom. That's what Jesus is saying when he uses this word, makarios, in the Beatitudes. It's like saying, "Oh, how happy you must be because of the state in which you are living." Another way of putting it, as I said, is, "Wow, you are living the good life. You've got it good." That's what Jesus is saying when he uses this word, makarios. Last one. It's like a salutation of saying congratulations. So keep that in mind as we think through what Jesus is saying in the Beatitudes. Okay, this is very important. So in Psalm chapter 1, we see this same word, ashrei, being used. And this is what it says in Psalm 1. "Blessed," or ashrei, "is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or set foot on the paths of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So this is the same word that we are seeing, the makarios in Greek, the ashrei in the Hebrew. And the observer is saying, listen, whoever just walks with God instead of walking with the people of the world, whoever meditates on the word of God, they are blessed because they are with God. Your state of living is one of being blessed. You are living the good life. You are experiencing the height of happiness within your life. So that is what Jesus is trying to say when he talks about the Beatitudes. John Mark Comer, so he was one of the people that I researched, who preached on this actually, it was very helpful. He did way more reading than I was able to do. He says that this is really important for us to understand because Jesus is reframing what it really means to be happy. Once again, Jesus is being countercultural. See, he's trying to help people to understand that we have every reason to be happy. Even if the world says, what do you have to be happy about? No matter what people's life situation looks like, Jesus is reframing it, even if it looks bad from the outside, because he's recalibrating their happiness index. Have you ever heard of the happiness index before? So there is a happiness report that comes out every single year, and they monitor which countries are the most happy in the world. And they use something that looks like this metric, these metrics here. So, do you have a fulfilled purpose to your life? Do you like what you do each day? Do you have great social interactions and relationships with people where there is positive relationships, where you're being support, giving and receiving support? How about financially? Are you doing well financially? Do you have enough to be able to survive? Are you part of a community that is safe and connected? Physically, are you healthy? Are you enjoying a good life? Mentally, do you have good mental health? And they say that if you have those things, then generally you are happier in life. How do you think the US is doing as a nation? Horrible. Sadly, we are at an all-time low. So this is where we are at right now. You may not be able to see this, but we're near the bottom, as you can see. Now, there are way more countries, but you know, the list. So just below us is Germany, sadly, and Mexico. And at the top, we have Finland, Denmark, Iceland. But look where we are. Something is going wrong in America. This is pretty alarming, don't you think? Especially for a country where the pursuit of happiness was written into the Declaration of Independence. That's pretty scary. Something is not quite right. There was a thought that the reason why things are now so low is because people are just working more than ever before. But that's actually not true. Most adults are working about 34 and a half hours a week, and that hasn't changed in the last 20 years. So there's something else that is taking place. What do you think is contributing to the fact that our happiness is at an all-time low? What do you think? Isolation? Yes, that is absolutely one of them. Social media. Materialism, we don't know what it is. We might have the wrong metric. Exactly, thank you. Let me show you. So, hopefully you can see this. So, happiness is the blue line, as you can see, but look at what is super high. Internet hours. So that's screen time, basically. Gaming, Instagram, whatever else it might be. That is at an all-time high. Sleep is at an all-time low. In-person social interactions are at an all-time low. No wonder our happiness is in a terrible place. This is pretty scary. Pretty scary. But we think that our happiness is dependent on what we have, right? But what we need produces the greatest amount of happiness. So think about how you're spending your time. Are you making good use of the social interactions? It's time for us to reframe what it truly means to be happy. So what can we learn from the Beatitudes? Tim Mackey, who is someone very famous, you may know him, part of the Bible Project, he says that Jesus is reframing the good life, what it really means to live the good life. And he's reframing it that we get to live the good life in as a present reality, but also as a future hope. It is not dependent on our circumstances. There is something bigger than what you do have or you don't have that determines your state of happiness. That is what Jesus is really trying to get at. So let me go through just three Beatitudes. I don't have time to do all of them, that through Dallas Willard, Tim Mackey, John Mark Comer, they've kind of brought a lot of their teaching together, and I've rephrased or paraphrased the Beatitudes to what they really should mean that the Bible scholars, unfortunately, perhaps didn't have the scope to be able to put into the scriptures. Otherwise, it would be very long. So here's the first one. So when we think of blessed are the poor in spirit, we immediately or might think that we need to be realize our spiritual poverty, and we need to be reaching out for God to be able to be filled. Okay, now there is some truth to that, I agree. But how about if we think of it this way? Jesus says, as he looks upon the crowd, how happy will you, the so-called nobodies of this world, be? The powerless, those who have nothing or very little, you are blessed because the kingdom of heaven is yours. That's what Jesus is saying. You see, our world says you are happy if you are wealthy, if you are powerful, if you can, you know, you've got everything that you need in your life. Jesus says, no. Those who are who are nobodies, who are powerless, they're the ones who are truly happy because they have God. Because what does Jesus say? He says, woe to those who are rich because it's so much harder to find God. So Jesus says, you're in a better place spiritually because you may see your need for God so much more. See, he flips it. This is what it really means to be happy. The next one, Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Now, when we think of the word meek, what comes to mind? Weak, weak, shrinking back, letting people tread all over you. This word, meek, is the same word that Jesus uses to describe himself in Matthew 11. You know where he says, come and follow me, for I am humble and gentle? This is the same word. So would we say Jesus is weak? Of course not. So that it means something else. But look at what this means. Jesus says to the crowd that he sees, how fortunate for you, the oppressed, the downtrodden, the marginalized. You've always been so reliant and dependent on God. The whole earth will be yours one day. That is what he says to them, and he says to us. See, he's switching it. He's helping them to see, don't worry. I see your life situation. I see what you do have. I see what you don't have. I see how people treat you. But I've got you. God's got you. Let's look at one more. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. How would we interpret this immediately? Well, we just need to be hungry for God. We just need to be hungry to be living in doing the right thing. Now, there again is some truth to that. But this is perhaps what it might mean. For you who long to be in right relationships with God and with other people, you long for that, you're in luck. Because I'm here to show you and teach you how. And that's what we see throughout the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus teaching people how to be a peacemaker. Teaching people how to have a good relationship with God and with one another. That's what he's doing. He's reframing what it truly means to be happy. So what does this mean for us today? Well, we have to re-examine the definition of the good life and what it really means to be happy. We must not let Western culture, particularly here in LA, define your happiness, because your happiness must be defined by God. It's not dictated by what we do have or what we don't have. And we must never let the pursuit of happiness or Western happiness get in the way of our relationship with God. So what would Jesus say that you have every reason to be happy about if he were to look at your life as it is right now? How might he reframe the things that we might complain about? Or society even looks down upon. So with the help of ChatGPT, I've got three Beatitudes for us today. Okay? Right, first one is for teenagers. Do we have a few teenagers here today? Okay, here's the first one. Teenagers, growing up in a loving Christian family, you are so fortunate. While social media and friends might sometimes make you feel like you're missing out, remember that you are being blessed with a strong foundation of faith and love that will guide you throughout your whole life. Appreciate all you have. That's true, right? But it's easy to think, I'm not blessed. My friends do this. Other people get to go there and do that. That's not what God would say. Okay, yo pros, are you ready? Young professionals, you're living a life of opportunity. As you navigate work, relationships, finances, you have the privilege of stewarding all that God has entrusted to you. While the world may tell you it's all about you, true maturity comes from experiencing the joy of giving by being generous with your time, your money, your resources, and your love. What do you think, yo pros? Some truth to that? You are so blessed. So blessed. But let's not keep it to ourselves. Share it. Be generous with all of those things. Okay, older members. I wasn't sure how to word it, but I just went with it anyway. Sorry. I'm part of that too, okay? Older members, are we ready? You are truly blessed. You are part of something rare and valuable. A vibrant, multi-generational community. Even if you sometimes feel disconnected from the younger generation, every time you make an effort to build meaningful relationships, everyone benefits. You benefit, they benefit, and you bring faith and hope and love to the next generation. We want to be an intergenerational community, but just by keeping ourselves together, it's not going to happen. We have to be making the effort. That's where the blessing lies. John Mark Comer wrote down a whole list, which I will send out to you, of modern beatitudes as well. I didn't want to share them today, just in case, you know, it was a little bit insensitive perhaps. But they're worth a read. They're worth thinking about. And the reason I share this is because I think if Jesus were to look at your life, and I'd like you to think about this week, what is it that I complain about? What is it that I am not seeing as a blessing that Jesus would see as a blessing? And try to reframe what that looks like for you to see, you know what, I am living the happy life. And if nothing else, I'm living the happy life because I have God. So this week, just think about, pray about, ask God to show you how you might be missing out on that blessing by reframing what it means to truly be happy. Okay, finally, I tried something different this week. One of the brothers put me onto this. This is a new thing from Google. It's called Notebook LM. And what I did was I put in all of my research, all of my sermon notes, all the books that I read into this thing. And it basically created a 15-minute podcast of more in-depth teaching that I wasn't able to cover today. All right, pretty cool. So James already has put it on the website for you. But this is a QR code of it if you want to listen to it as well. So this goes into more of the detail of each one of the Beatitudes, which I wasn't able to cover this morning. But check it out. Let me know what you think. Okay, if you think it's pretty cool, we will do it again. So right now, we're going to take communion together. I hope this has been of some encouragement to you. You know, as Jesus went to the cross, of course, he saw that as a blessing. Whereas people around him were mocking him, were ridiculing him. That was the ultimate beatitude or fulfillment of the Beatitudes as he went to the cross. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for your Son, that he was willing to endure the ridicule, the persecution, the insults, so that we can live the good life. We thank you, God, that he was able to endure that pain so that we can live a truly happy life in him and with you. We pray, Father, that we will not waste whatever you've allowed to come into our lives to tear us away from you, but God, that we will use it to reframe what it means to be happy, to think carefully about how blessed we are to live this life, so that it will never derail our faith and keep us focused on Jesus. We thank you for him, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.